Today we have gathered here to discuss the chanting of Hare Krishna. As you all know, this chanting of Hare Krishna is our most important activity. It is the foundation. It's the prime activity. One question that you'll be asking yourself as your years in bhakti increase, and of course we hope that they will increase, one thing you'll ask yourself is, how long will it take me to grasp the full importance of chanting Hare Krishna? Sometimes devotees ask the question, when will I ever be satisfied with my chanting? How many of you have asked yourself that question? Well, would you like to know the answer? You'll never be satisfied with your chanting. In that, you'll always be thinking, I need to improve. There's so much more to be had. This is why Lord Chaitanya says in the second prayer of the Shishtashtaka, Jadaivam Ijasanahajani Nandaraga. I'm so unfortunate, I have no attraction, no raga for the holy name of Krishna. There's no limitation to how much Krishna you can have. Therefore, you're always feeling that no matter how much you have, there's always so much more. So please understand that that's going to be your future in chanting Hare Krishna. You'll always see that there's so much more spiritual progress to make, more depth in chanting Hare Krishna. Remember the statement by Lord Chaitanya that you often hear me quote? He's explaining about persons who think he has love of Krishna. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the highest emblem of love of Krishna, because he's Krishna coming in the mood, the emotions, the position of Krishna's dearest devotee, Srimati Radha. But still, what does Lord Chaitanya say? He says, if you see tears in my eyes while I'm chanting, and you think that I have love of Krishna, let me tell you, it's all a show. Because if I actually loved Krishna, I would have died long ago from separation. The proof that I'm living means I have no love for Krishna. So the real devotee never feels that, now I have Krishna, now I have enough Krishna, now I'm satisfied. But this dissatisfaction that a real devotee feels is not material dissatisfaction. You all know what material dissatisfaction is about. You have something, but it doesn't fulfill you, it doesn't satisfy you. Whatever excitement and thrill was there has long faded. Now the material thing, the material situation, the material attachment doesn't have its glitter anymore. So you're dissatisfied? Yes? Some of you can remember being dissatisfied not only with something, but someone? Yeah? But the chanting of Hare Krishna, dissatisfaction is not like that. It's satisfaction combined with yearning for more. It's totally unrelated to the material platform. You have Krishna, but you think, actually, I don't have Krishna. There's so much more Krishna to be had. That's why Lord Chaitanya says, I'm so unfortunate, I have no attraction for the holy name. So one thing I want to establish in this session is that you should become accustomed to eternally pursuing the Hare Krishna mantra. Don't ever think there's going to be a time where you can say, now I've got Krishna. I always find out what the six Goswamis of Vrindavan say. Krishna is always just up ahead. Where is he? Is he on the bank of the Jamuna? Is he on Govardhan Hill? Where is he? And that is what Lord Chaitanya demonstrates. Perpetually in separation of Krishna, pursuing Krishna. And the experience gets deeper and deeper and deeper. So we're on the path of never thinking we're chanting well enough. There's always so much more. There's no material activity that you can do in which you keep pursuing more, even though you already have sufficiently. There's no satiation in chanting Hare Krishna. The more you get, the more you want. So please understand that. Because some of you may be thinking, when will my chanting reach a plateau where I can say, okay. I'm on that plateau. I can rest now. No, love is dynamic. And chanting Hare Krishna is about pure love. So you'll always be thinking, I don't have enough. Just as Lord Chaitanya said, how can you say that I love Krishna when I'm still living? If I actually love Krishna, I wouldn't be alive because I'd be dead from those feelings of separation. So overwhelmed by those feelings. Now let's ask ourselves the question. How much does the chanting of Hare Krishna really mean to you? I'm sure you all have done evaluations of various things in your life about how much those things mean to you. Name some valuable things in your life that you did this self-evaluation about. School, career.
Graduation, maybe.
Graduation. How much does it really mean? Graduation from where?
Okay, finally, I finished this school. I don't need now think about it.
Okay. So, but before you graduated, you were thinking, how much does this really mean to me? Yeah. Anyone else?
Wealth.
You've got big money? But you're thinking, how much is that goal worth to me? Anyone?
A bike.
If I get a new bike, push bike or motorcycle?
Push bike.
I get a new push bike. Will my life feel complete?
Go down a hill really fast.
Will that fulfill me? Going down a hill really fast. Yes.
Career consideration, like what line should I pursue?
So you're calculating how much does that mean to you, right? In terms of life fulfillment.
Yeah.
Career. Does it satisfy my soul? Career. I've got a career. Especially since you get a career, you get some money. If you're Australian, so much of your money goes to paying back your loans for school. If you're from India, so much of your money goes back to whatever city or village you're from. Right? The whole clan of relatives is just waiting for you to get a career. Send it back overseas. What else?
A house.
How much does it mean to you? A house where? Manly. Anywhere in Sydney.
Yeah?
Relationship. How much does your wife mean to you? Is it worth the trouble? Must be worth the trouble somehow or other. The Grihastha ashram is the most popular ashram. So it must mean something to someone. I don't know why it's so popular, but... Yes? How much do your studies mean to you? You're thinking like that sometimes. Are they the royal road to completing the goal of life? But sometimes you wonder, why am I doing all this? Especially since you'll marry, you'll have children, and stay at home. But in order to attract a suitable husband, they want to see, what is your education? Even though you'll just be staying at home, taking care of kids. Right? I know how the game works. And you?
Family relationships.
You mean in Ukraine, way over there. And you don't see them, so you're wondering, how can I live with them being so far away? Huh? They're in your heart. So similarly, it's natural that we would be concerned about this chanting. Is it really all that they say it is? How much is this chanting going to mean to me? Isn't it enough to believe in Krishna? Some people believe in God. Okay, we know God is Krishna. We believe in Krishna. Isn't that enough? Why this emphasis on quality chanting, attentive chanting? Isn't it enough just to believe in Krishna? And every once in a while, you finger your beads. Anyone here ask yourself that question? Why is so much talk about the chanting? There's so many other kinds of pujas. Maybe the chanting is just this kind of puja that this particular mandir stresses. How many of you thought like that in the beginning? Raise your hand. Yes, you don't know. Okay, every mandir has its ways. Sadhus say something different everywhere. So this particular mandir, the sadhus who come here, they say chanting. Do your puja like that. Yeah. Boom. Once you start to chant, though, everything changes. And then you begin to understand that the goal of chanting is what?
More
chanting. The means are the same as the end. Chanting Hare Krishna leads to more chanting of Hare Krishna. That's just the way it is. So you have your whole life. Why simply your life? You have all of eternity to look ahead to more chanting. Now just think about that. Eternally, I'll just be chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, on and on and on, and on and on and on. Understand that the chanting of Hare Krishna, when done properly, inserts you in the spiritual reality. When you're chanting Hare Krishna properly, in a mature way, you'll see reflected in your pure heart the activities of the spiritual world. You'll see your original constitutional position. In India, many devotees, they wonder, how do you attain the perfectional stage? Your siddha sarup, your original constitutional relationship with Krishna. Do you need to be, just like in Vrindavan, there are Babaji's who say, you need to approach
the right guru who gives you, who can tell you what forest of the spiritual world you're from. And what is your relation to Krishna? It all happens by initiation. But the acharyas and Bhakti Vinod Thakur explain that by chanting Hare Krishna in the mature phase, you see the pure mirror of your pure consciousness. You see the reflection of your original relationship with Krishna. So you don't need to do anything at any stage of your spiritual life if you want to experience your original constitutional nature. You don't need to do anything except to chant Hare Krishna. So we want to build up a sense of your anticipation. What's going to come ahead by your chanting Hare Krishna? Do we have any new chanters here who've been chanting Hare Krishna for less than 6 months? Raise your hands. One. Two. Less than 6 months, really? Huh? Yeah. Huh? Anyone else? Okay. You should know this in order to deal with new chanters, so you can help them. The common excuse people give why they cannot take up the chanting of Hare Krishna is they don't have enough time. Maybe some of you thought that in the beginning? Yeah, you thought that. How do you? I don't have the time for this. I don't know how the devotees do it. They must have some mystic power. Hour and a half to 2 hours a day of chanting? Oh, I'm so busy. What do you think this is? I live in Sydney. So much action, things to do, things you have to do, stress, anxiety. You want me to chant for 2 hours? Impossible. Everywhere they say like this. Australia, India. When I'm in Mumbai, I hear it all the time from the students. But let me tell you something. This is what I explained to them. And it'll be good for you to know this so you can explain to others. Chanting Hare Krishna creates time. The more you chant with attention, the more you realize how much time you have, because your consciousness becomes cleansed. You're not wasting so much time in your mind. You cannot believe how much time you waste in your mind. Thoughts take up time. So when you're daydreaming, oh, I wish I was in Pune. Oh, I wish I was here, there. How about Bondi Beach? Surfers Paradise. Wow. That all takes time. So all the material desires that are running through your mind are taking up time. So when you are in material consciousness, your mind is overloaded with material impressions, which take up so much time. How should I enjoy? Should I enjoy this? Should I enjoy that? What do I do about this crisis? What do I do about that crisis? This all takes time. But the chanting of Hare Krishna simplifies your life. That means it simplifies your consciousness and focuses your consciousness on Krishna's pleasure. Therefore, by chanting Hare Krishna, your life automatically becomes more clarified, more clear, more simple. And you don't waste so much time in your mind thinking this, thinking that. So, every serious chanter of Hare Krishna finds out that there's so much more time than you thought. As your mind becomes more cleansed, you see more time. In that way, you could say that chanting Hare Krishna creates more time. So remember that. Explanation you can give when someone tells you that. How do you do it? How many of you here started chanting 16 rounds in one day immediately? Raise your hand. Yes. You heard about it, the next day you chanted 16 rounds. The only one. Manjulali Mataji. Yeah, but that's very rare. Generally, people are intimidated by what's in their mind. And even when they may be devotees for a while, they're still intimidated by what's in their mind. Because their priorities aren't clear. So in the beginning, you start one round a day, two rounds a day, four rounds a day. Now you're chanting minimum 16 rounds, but still there are these impediments in the mind. Doubts about what is your role in life. How should I control and enjoy? Or maybe I shouldn't control and enjoy. So these structures in the mind block your progress. So let's not consider that just because we're no longer new devotees, that our minds are completely free of encumbrances, free of barriers. We have to look at ourselves and root out those barriers. Because you'll find that just as you had barriers in your mind when you started to chant, those barriers, although in a more refined way, can still be there years later. Of course, the main barrier is we don't want to. You can remember days like that. I don't want to chant, but I have to. If I don't chant, people will think I'm in Maya, and I don't want that. I'll lose my standing in the Radha Gopinath community. People will know I'm not chanting. That's not good. Even though I don't want to chant, I should chant to be known as a practicing Hare Krishna. So in the mind, there is this rebellious feeling. How many of you have noticed that? Raise your hand. With your lips, we're chanting Hare Krishna, but the mind is saying, nah, nah. why everything for Krishna? That's what the mind is saying. What about me? So with the lips and the tongue, you're chanting Hare Krishna, but the mind is saying, nah, 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 I want to get my taste from somewhere else. I think some of you know how I explained to you how I started chanting. Definitely my mind was in a state of rebellion. But I had been reading Srila Prabhupada's books for so long, 4 hours a day for 6 months straight before I started to chant. And how did I start to chant? One bead a day. I remember how it started. It was 9 o'clock in the morning. I had come in late at night. It was a Saturday morning. And I was laying in bed and the devotees had given me some beads. I just kept them next to my bed and never thought anything about it. Well, as I was laying in bed one morning, I thought, all right, I'll try one bead. So I did. I chanted one bead and then put the beads down. Okay, enough. Because my mind was full of impediments. Of course, it is true, I have been reading Prabhupada's books 4 hours a day for 6 months straight, so unknown to me, the mind was becoming purified. But still, I had my reasons why I didn't want to chant. All concoctions, of course. But my point is that although you don't have the same concoctions exactly as you And when you started to chant, still there's some concoctions in your mind about the importance of chanting. So I started chanting one bead a day. Next day it was Sunday morning. I said, well, okay, maybe two beads. So Sunday I chanted two beads. And Monday, I had to go to work, but I said, okay, three beads. That's how I started to chant. Because I had such impediments, self-created impediments in the mind. Concoctions. That's why Krishna explains in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita that real freedom is to become free from concocted desires for material pleasure. They're concoctions that just swallow up your mind. And you can't even appreciate the bhakti process when it's presented straightforwardly to you. Just like I was reading Prabhupada's books 4 hours a day for 6 months straight. And I kept reading about how you should offer your food, you know? And you offer your food to Krishna and you take the remnants. Yes, you remember reading that? So I'm like, what is this remnants? I translated it literally in my mind. So what I thought it meant was, you cook a big pot of food, you offer it to Krishna, and then you throw out the food and the remnants that cling to the bottom of the pot. That's what you take. Remnants. Yeah, I would take it literal. Yeah, literally. Who wants to do this? This is crazy. You cook a big pot of food and then you offer it to Krishna, throw it all out, and the remnants that cling to the bottom, that's what you take. So now it sounds funny, of course. But we still have concoctions in our mind about chanting Hare Krishna. Why we can't do it? What are some concoctions you had?
Our mind is so intoxicated by material nature, so we cannot fully concentrate.
You're coming from Czech Republic, yes? Very irreligious place, atheistic country.
That's true.
So, when someone suggested that you chant Hare Krishna, you think, oh, this is religious activity.
I just think it's another kind of meditation, just like for relax.
Oh, for relaxing, yes. Good sleep. Better concentration on material activities. What are some other barriers to chanting Hare Krishna that you had?
Maybe we think that this time we need to spend time on career and development, and then later you have the time to sit quietly. And
later when?
When you retire from your work.
There's children and grandchildren. Anyone else? Yes?
Sometimes the concoction is why remain part of a minority. Sometimes the concoction is you feel why should I remain in the minority part of the world, because compared to the rest of the world who's not doing chanting.
But you have to see the whole world. The vast majority of living entities chant Hare Krishna. But you're just looking at a tiny part of the world. You're looking at the material world, which is a tiny sliver of reality. Other reasons what you had in your mind why you shouldn't chant Hare Krishna? Why should I do it? There's so much trouble. Yes?
The mind is to say that in Kirtan it's much easier to recite the Mahamantra. Mm-hmm. Why just sit at one place and just repeat it? Mm-hmm. Like for so many times.
That's a good one. Especially Bengal, they say like that. Chanting is for kirtan. Why do I have to chant japa? Mahaprabhu is in my heart. Right? Bengalis say like that. Any Bengalis here? Mahaprabhu is in my heart always. Why this chanting? That's for the people who don't know the non-Bengalis. They need to chant.
Chanting, you know, we prefer to be in a quiet place, you know, able to concentrate or meditate like that. But then, if you don't get such circumstances, mind, you know, can say like, you know.
I'll just see, the circumstances aren't perfect, therefore I can't chant. Any other excuses?
Yeah, people will think you're weird doing it.
Oh, if you chant in public. An essential part of chanting Hare Krishna is to understand the glories of the holy name. This is very important. Without a full appreciation of the glories of chanting Hare Krishna, our mind will become overwhelmed by concoctions why chanting is not so important. And therefore, even though we may be chanting at least 16 rounds, our mind is rebelling. You're saying Hare Krishna with your lips, but with your mind saying, no, no, no. When can I do something else? I'm almost finished. I'm almost finished. Okay, finished. Now I can do what I want to do. Right? I've given Krishna what he wants, now it's time for me. Just like Srila Prabhupada was once imitating, you know, a neophyte devotee. He was chanting his japa, and then he, after chanting, suddenly looked down his feedback, there! I finished my 16 rounds, now I can do any damn thing. Finished, it's out of the way. I've done my austerity, the drudgery. It's like exercising, you know. I finished my morning calisthenics, my exercises. Got that out of the way. Got the chanting out of the way. Got the puja done, the chanting rituals done. So these are concoctions that plague us in the beginning of our chanting. But, as Rupa Goswami says in Nectar of Instruction, everyone should know that verse, number 7, in Nectar of Instruction, Upadeshamrita. Syat Krishna Nama Charitari Satopya Vidya. Pitopatasya rasanasya narochikanu. Rupa Goswami explains it so beautifully. The actual taste of chanting Hare Krishna is just like the sweetest sugar candy. But because our tongues are affected by jaundice, hepatitis. How many of you here have had jaundice before, Rachel? So, whatever sweet you eat, it tastes bitter. So that's the example Rupa Goswami gives. The holy name is infinitely sweet, but because we're infected with the jaundice of ignorance, that natural sweetness of the holy name is not known to us. So what does Rupa Goswami advise? Does he say, give up? No, he says, go on, patiently and attentively chanting every day, and gradually that natural sweetness will become known to you, and the disease of ignorance will slide away. So day after day, we're pledged to chant Hare Krishna. It's our lifetime goal. It's our career. I always point this out. Your career is not IT person, civil engineer, financial analyst. Your career is chanting Hare Krishna. That's your number one career goal, to hear the holy name. And you're willing to focus your whole life on this. So what if it takes you 40, 50 years to hear the holy name? So what? I always give this example. In the corporate world, if it takes you 40 years to rise to top management, everyone will applaud you, right? Oh, it's worth it. 40 years. You started off at the low level. Now you are on the board. You're a board member. Well done. But if we say 40 years to hear the holy name, too long. You don't have that much time. You see how biased we are? How jaded we are. We'll give everything to the material energy. We're so patient. We're so determined. But for chanting Hare Krishna, I've been chanting for 2 months now, and still there's no taste. I've been chanting for 2 years. Well, sometimes I like it, sometimes I don't. Will it go on like this? So for career goals, we will sacrifice our whole life. But for chanting Hare Krishna, it's difficult for us to see that this is our lifetime career. What is the goal of our chanting? Rupa Goswami, again, gives us major help. So we describe how in Sri Upadeshamrita, Rupa Goswami talks about therapeutic chanting. How to overcome the ignorance that's coating your tongue. This is why when you're chanting your japa, you just don't feel like you're connecting with Krishna, because your tongue's coated with avidya, ignorance, due to countless lifetimes of rebellion against Krishna. Sometimes I tell myself when I'm chanting, isn't this incredible? I'm chanting the same mantra that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted, but just look at me. I'm chanting the same mantra as Haridas Thakur, Rupa Goswami. And just look, I have no taste. It's because of the ignorance that's encasing the tongue. So you can measure that rebellion against Krishna by the ignorance you feel on your tongue when you chant Hare Krishna, that resistance. Hare Krishna. I don't want to chant, but I must. I don't want to, but I must. Hare Krishna. Wow, almost finished. Another hour chanting. Hare Krishna. How many rounds? 15 rounds, one more. Hare. It's like you're doing exercises. When in the morning, when I'm doing sun salutation, you know, I'm supposed to do 6. Okay. Number 4. 2 more. Number 5. 6. So we chant with that kind of mentality.
Gotta do it. If you want to get recommended for initiation, you gotta do it. Right? Or after you've been initiated, you got to do it, because if you don't, everyone will know you're in Maya. Your Guru Maharaj will look at you and know you're not chanting. So you got to be careful, you don't want them to catch on.
So Rupa Goswami describes in Nectar of Instruction. Nectar of Instruction is meant for, it's siksha for neophyte devotees. Although it takes you all the way up to Radha Kund, still it's siksha for neophyte devotees. And in the beginning of Nectar of Instruction, Rupa Goswami says a very interesting point. I don't know how many of you have thought about it deeply. Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Uddhava Pasta Vegam. He says that if you can tolerate the pushing agents, the Vegas,
tongue, mind, belly, genitals, anger. If you can do that, tolerate the urges, you can make disciples all over the world. He said, tolerate the urges. He didn't say, you don't have any urges. He said, tolerate them. That's how powerful toleration is. So the chanting of Hare Krishna gives you sufficient spiritual strength to tolerate the urges. Many of you are young, so you're thinking, oh, so many passions, so many bad habits, so many desires accumulated over many lifetimes. How will I ever withstand these things all my life? But the chanting of Hare Krishna will give you the spiritual strength to tolerate it. So in Nectar of Instruction, Rupa Goswami gives you basic instruction for neophyte. Sometimes, I remember, in the early days of ISKCON, devotees would read Nectar of Instruction where it says, living at Radha Kund is the highest place to live in the universe. So they would go off and try to live at Radha Kund with some Babaji's. I remember, there was one Sanskrit editor who did that. And he told me personally, he came back from Radha Kund to see Srila Prabhupada in Los Angeles. And he told me how Srila Prabhupada called him into his quarters and just said in a very angry way, devotee's name was Jagannath Das. So Jagannath Das, how did you like Radha Kund? At least spit the words out. And so the devotee said, Prabhupada, it says in Nectar of Instruction that living in Radha Kund is the highest. And Prabhupada's response was, yes, but you are the lowest. So even though Nectar of Instruction is meant for neophyte devotees, it contains the pinnacle of bhakti. But that doesn't mean we should think automatically we're on that pinnacle. So therefore, in Nectar of Instruction, Rupa Goswami explains about how to progress in your chanting. The ignorance is there. The resistance is there. That sluggishness in your tongue is there. The rebellion in your mind. I don't want to do this. Why? I want to listen to my mind. Why do I have to listen to the holy name? You can really feel all that. Just rising in you. I want to be the controller. I want to be the enjoyer. Why do I have to hear Krishna's name? What about me? So, Rupa Goswami says, by chanting carefully with attention every day, you'll destroy at the root that ignorance. Just by chanting every day. Carefully. Now, we will discuss Rupa Goswami explaining what it's like to chant in the liberated stage of life, when you're free from all material contamination. Tunde tandavadi ritim vitamati. That famous verse quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita. When I chant Hare Krishna with my tongue, I desire millions of tongues. And when that sound of Hare Krishna goes from my tongue into my ears, I desire millions of ears. Rupa Goswami describes that the chanting of Hare Krishna dances on your tongue, and you desire millions of tongues. The sound enters your ears, you desire millions of ears. And then it penetrates through your ears into the courtyard of your heart. And once the holy name enters your heart, your mind and senses become pacified, peaceful and still. So you can take this verse in a step-by-step procedure, because the whole combination is about how chanting is experienced on the liberated platform. But you can take it step-by-step in your current state of spiritual existence. The combined effect
is what Rupa Goswami is explaining as this is how liberated chanting feels. He's giving you experience. Why one tongue? I need millions of tongues. Why 2 ears? I need millions of ears. He's actually telling you, this is what it's like. This is what the achievement is about. What partially can we explain this is like an ordinary activity? Let me think. How many of you like pizza? Raise your hands. So, just think of when you've really had some top pizza. Where do you get that? Top pizza. Best pizza.
Disney?
No, Temple makes top pizza? Really? Who does it? Who?
Antarprabhu. Antaryami Prabhu.
He's known for that. Okay. So, when you get some really wonderful pizza, don't you remember thinking, one mouth is not enough? Right? One belly is not enough. In fact, you can feel anxiety when you're eating very good pizza. That, oh no, I'm going to be full soon, right? I can only hold, how many pieces can you hold?
Three
or four, I think. Yeah, so you have anxiety. Oh, it's so good, but I have such limited space in my belly. I need millions of bellies. This is a parampara example because the Bhagavatam in the 11th canto describes the satisfaction you get from bhakti by using the example of a hungry person eating food. Bhakti prasanna bhavo. Bhakti gives relief from material distress and nourishment and pleasure. Just like a hungry man eating food feels relief from hunger and is nourished and gets pleasure in the eating. Of course, the pleasure that a hungry man gets from eating diminishes because soon you become full and you're no longer hungry. But bhakti goes on eternally. So in this way, please remember Rupa Goswami's description of what it's like to chant in the liberated stage. You're not thinking, oh, how soon will I be done? How many, oh, two more rounds? Okay. I'm tired of chanting. I'll save the last rounds for later in the day. Have you ever heard devotees tell you that it's best to chant when you feel like it? Any of you heard that one before? It's best to only chant when you feel like it, because that way you're not offering something forced to Krishna. So just chant when you feel like it, and the chanting is better. If you don't feel like chanting, don't chant. But that is not what the Shastra says. The Shastra says, you don't feel like chanting because you're in a diseased state. But by regularly chanting, regardless of how you feel, you'll get over that diseased state. Take your medicine no matter how you feel. So we are talking about that verse. Tunde tandavani vitim vitante. Rupa Goswami's verse about chanting in the liberated phase. You can at least take it in parts. First, focus on the holy name dancing on your tongue. And then move on to the next of the holy name entering into the ear. Then move on to the next phase, the holy name penetrating into your heart. In this way, you take it step by step. When we look at the first verse of the Shikshastaka, Cheto Dharpana Marjanam Bhavama Dhava Dinirvana. And the end, of course, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtana. Param Vijayate, the supreme victory. Let the chanting of Hare Krishna be supremely victorious. It is supremely victorious, but let us recognize it. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtana. So what does this mean, Param Vijayate, that supreme victory? It means complete victory. The Acharyas explain, Param Vijayate means at every stage of your bhakti development, chanting will always be the most important thing. Whether you're a neophyte or Paramahansa, Param Vijayate means you'll never progress beyond chanting Hare Krishna. So you might as well get used to it. Make your peace with chanting Hare Krishna because it's the eternal activity. In all phases, whether anartha, navritti, shraddha, praying, chanting Hare Krishna will always be the essential process. So we might as well make our peace with it, yes? It's our eternal activity. Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out another point. He says that chanting Hare Krishna is actually your original constitutional nature. It's not something you do to get to your original constitutional nature. Chanting Hare Krishna is your constitutional nature. It's the most natural thing to do. As Lord Chaitanya says to Sanatana Goswami, Jivera Swarupoi Krishna Nichadas. Eternally you are the servant of Krishna. That's your position, your nature, your essence. Similarly, chanting Hare Krishna is your essence. Another reason why Param Vijayate, the chanting of Hare Krishna, is the complete victory, is because it is the perfect yajna that accomplishes all purposes. It's the one thing you can do that solves all situations. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya says, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtana. Now let's discuss a point that is very important for your spiritual advancement. Every devotee here needs a personal experience of how you became victorious in your spiritual life by chanting. Every devotee here needs that experience. That you had some challenge in your life, in your spiritual life, that is, at some point, whether right in the beginning or after some years or maybe after many years of practicing bhakti, there was some challenge that just shook you to the core. And you had the experience of conquering that challenge by chanting Hare Krishna. You'll never forget this. Maybe some of you have already had that experience. Raise your hands. Yeah. Some problem, some issue, some challenge, some material impediment that just shook you. And you thought, I'll never be able to get over this. Oh, this is too much. It's too hard. And then you seriously increased your chanting of Hare Krishna and you rose above that challenge. You'll never forget this. And that is why, that's another reason why Lord Chaitanya says, Param Vijayate, Sri Krishna Sankirtana. The complete victory, the supreme victory. Every devotee needs that experience. So don't protest when Krishna arranges that situation, that you'll call out to him in desperation. And Krishna will reciprocate with you by letting you experience the complete victory, the Param Vijayate.
It is the greatest acquisition, the greatest wealth to have that experience of the complete victory of the chanting of the Holy Name in your life. Something you thought was insurmountable. Lust, greed, envy. Something. How, Krishna, will I ever overcome this? This is impossible. And you chanted your way through it. You'll never forget it. It could be like that when you are a new devotee trying to seriously establish yourself in bhakti. Or it could be, also it could be later in your bhakti life, some challenge comes up, health challenge, devotee relationship challenge, and you just chanted your way through it. In other words, you took more shelter of the Holy Name, and you could see that you crossed over that problem simply by the chanting. How many of you here have already had such an experience? Raise your hand. One. Yes. Let me tell you, for every sincere devotee, this will come at some point in your spiritual life. When you wonder, how can I go on? Oh, this is tough. You'll be in Arjuna's position, first chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Oh, Krishna, I don't see how any good is going to come out of my situation. I'm trapped. Overpowered, outgunned. And then you increase the quality of your chanting. And you see, I crossed over this problem. By the chanting, the problem shrunk to be, it shrunk from an ocean to the size of the water containing the hoof print of a calf. Samashritaye padapallava plavam mahapadam punya yashomarade. Lord Brahma makes that prayer, 14th chapter of 10th canon. Padam 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 tesham. The dangerous ocean of material existence shrinks to the size of water contained in the hoof print of a calf. When you experience that, then you'll really cry out, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan. Gradually we'll be able to see that our whole life is about molding our chanting on a higher and higher level. We'll take advantage of circumstances, good or bad, so that we can chant with more dedication. We'll start to see that the chanting is our life and soul. It's not simply something we do because we have to. For all these reasons, the chanting of Hare Krishna is the complete victory. Param Vijayate, Sri Krishna Sankirtan. Now, one essential point that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions is that there are certain things you need for success in bhakti. You need a deep understanding of Krishna Tattva, the science of Krishna. And you need eagerness to relish the pastimes of Krishna. Great dedication and great eagerness. Both those things are needed. But, Thakur points out, even if you have that great conviction and that great eagerness, unless you have this association, the sangha of devotees, it's impossible to achieve success in the hearing and chanting process. What does Lord Kapiladeva say in the third canto of Bhagavatam? Satam prasangam mama virya samvido bhavanti hrikana
Rasayana Kata, Tajoshina, Ashwapabhaga Vartmani, Shadadatiya Bhakti Anukramishati. Lord Piladeva explains to his mother Devahuti, talks about Krishna in the society of devotees are especially powerful. And there's, and because the talks are going on amongst devotees, there's such a sweetness that's generated for the ear. Rasayana Kata, generated by that Kata, those talks. And then, Taj Joshna Ashu Apavagavatmani, the doorway to liberation, to freedom from material existence, swings wide open. Shraddha Bhakti Anukramishati. And then one after another, you get Shraddha, firm conviction, Rati, attraction, and Bhakti, loving devotion to Krishna. So we need the society of devotees so that our chanting and our hearing and chanting becomes dynamic. Think about this. The society of devotees is necessary for our hearing and chanting. There'll come a time in your devotee life, most likely, when at some point you're going to feel misunderstood, you're going to feel not appreciated, or something, some complexity like that. It practically happens to every devotee. It's purification that you go through. And in those situations, you're going to feel very severely tested. But if you understand how essential other devotees are for your spiritual progress, you'll pass through such challenging situations. I need the association of devotees so that I can hear and chant about Krishna with increasing taste. So in other words, even when the conviction is there, even when the eagerness is there, the knowledge is there, without the association of saintly devotees, the process of hearing and chanting about Krishna is not complete. We need each other for chanting Hare Krishna with taste. So when you remember that, you'll understand the value, the incalculable value of associating with devotees. And remember, throughout all the phases of your spiritual development, from Shraddha to Prem, chanting of Hare Krishna is preeminent. So we might as well give it the pride of place now. Those who are living in ashrams, you have an easier chance to do that. Those who are living at home, it's a battle. So many home responsibilities, work, wife, husband, children, in-laws. But still, you should not abandon the struggle. By struggling at home to hear the Hare Krishna mantra, you capture Krishna's attention. He notices how you're trying. Sometimes householders say, oh, it's impossible to chant attentively at home. Why even try? I won't be able to do this until I'm 65 or 70. But it is possible. It will take a great effort, but it's possible. Often, for example, even as a sannyasi, I know that when ladies have children, they may tell each other, oh, it's impossible to raise a child and chant 16 rounds. It is possible. So many ladies are doing that. But it takes a great effort. You have to be very determined. Or, I know so many men devotees who are both studying and working. How many of you here have done that? It's a real battle, isn't it? To study and work and do your sadhana. But you did it. It took great determination. But my point is, what else is great determination meant for than trying to serve Krishna? Sometimes we make the mistake of thinking determination is only for material achievement. And bhakti, well, that's a religious belief, and it's just everything should come easy. You just believe it. But actually, the struggle of determination is especially meant for bhakti. All right. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.